questions. They have plagued humanity from the dawn of our ancestors to each of us breathing on this earth today. The only thing more important than answering questions is keeping them a secret. Join me, a random average Joe, on a journey to uncover answers which ail each of us in our own way. Such as, what's going on? Welcome to the Joe Van Secret Podcast. This is episode 22. With me today is guest 22. Please say hello.
Hello.
Without giving anything about your identity away, what is your first and last name?
Well, you can't really do that without giving an identity away.
Oh, well, I guess you got me right in the...
Yeah, that's right. I caught you there.
You caught me!
I did.
Is there any disclaimer you want to give before continuing?
Well, you know what? I just have to say, I'm only putting on this accent just so you don't know who I am. So, if my accent tends to change throughout the video, that is why. I'm going to try to keep it the same, but if I don't, please forgive me.
Hey, that sounds okay with me, and I'd like to think it's okay with the audience, too. If the audience has a problem with someone trying to keep their identity a secret by using a fake, albeit sometimes improvisational, interchanging accent, well, take it up with God himself. Now, before continuing, it's time to move on to the fun facts segment of the show. I have three for you today. The first one is, Shakespeare invented the words assassination and bump. He literally created these words, if he actually exists. The other fun fact is, 1 million seconds is about 2 weeks if you were to count down each second. 1 billion seconds to count takes 32 years. So there is a huge gap between a million and a billion. It goes from 2 weeks to 32 years. The final fact, and this one's a dangerous one.
Tell me about it.
It's not too dangerous, but it's shocking.
All right, that's it.
Sharks have existed since before trees have existed.
Yes, quite. Can believe that. Because there was water before land.
That's a good point to bring into it. Because usually we think of modern-day animals as being ancestors of other extremely different creatures of evolution. But in this case, yeah, when it comes to sea creatures or any saltwater amphibians.
They came first.
That's right. Okay, so guest 22.
Yes.
If it's okay with you, I'm going to jump into the first question.
All right, go right ahead.
The first question pertains to you in particular. So, if you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe to say that you've had a healthy relationship with the now legalized, in Canada, herb known as cannabis. What, if you could tell us, was your journey with that herb? Starting from your first experience to now.
All right, well, this is going to be a bit of a long story. My first time actually smoking the herb cannabis, I was 12 years old. It's quite a shock to most people. I was actually in grade 7 when I first tried it.
It's earlier than me.
And I wasn't doing it all the time back then, you know. It was just my first time trying it. And I don't remember how many times I did do it when I was 12, but not very many at all. You know, and then it came to grade 8. I was 13 years old. I was now a teenager, more exposed to it because I'm, you know, starting to meet people that are from high school and all that, you know. And so I started smoking it a little bit more. But again, not very much. I was in elementary school, keep in mind. So I was very, very afraid and I was very uneducated in it as well. So I didn't do it very much. And then came high school. Grade 9 again, I was starting to do it a little more often, you know, starting to go to parties and other people having it there. I tried it there. And then, you know, it became every weekend kind of thing. And I have to say, it was in grade 10 is where I would kind of say that that's when I became a stoner, if you will.
It encapsulated your soul.
That's right.
You became enthused about it.
Well, I was on this medication that I couldn't drink alcohol. And so anytime I would go to the high school parties and, you know, underage drinking, but I couldn't drink, so I'd smoke the herb. And I just liked it more and more, and I enjoyed doing it. And, you know, at that point, I didn't care if there was anybody else with me, you know, because before I just wanted to do it with friends and, you know, but then it became something to do on my own, and I just did it. And, you know, I wasn't the sort of smoke weed and couch potato. I would smoke my weed, but I would still do what I had to do throughout the day. You know, if my parents had asked me to do something, I would still do it, like, you know, minimal things like the dishwasher, unload and load it up, that kind of stuff. But I would still do it. I wouldn't just smoke the herb and sit on the couch all day.
Beyond that, you're also extremely sociable. When many people think of stoners, they think of introverts that they smoke and want to be alone.
And see, I would have to say there are different types of stoners. There are stoners who smoke weed and they socialize and they don't get very tired. But you know what? It also depends on the kind of weed that you are smoking.
So then, it's not just psychological, because or biological, I should say. Certain people have certain effects when they smoke it. Some people get more anxious. Other people become extremely dumb. Because, other people get extremely efficient.
Well, maybe, but it all depends on the type of weed that they are smoking.
Okay.
So there are,
it's a mix.
Just to very, 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 very generalize the categories of weed, cannabis, if you will, there is indica, sativa, and hybrids. That is just a very, very general state. There are, I think, one or two more than that, but that's what we'll go with today. So sativa is more of an uplifting kind of weed. It doesn't really, you know, not allow you to do things. It is very uplifting. It is very just a nice weed, if I do say so myself. And then you have the indica. And the indica, and these are two totally different, you know, plants, but they are still within the cannabis plant, if that makes sense to you.
I would say it's a different branch in the evolutionary strand.
Sure. Well, they look like they're
in the plant.
They're different leaves for sure. Like the leaves, they look different themselves. So sativa is more of a wide kind of fluffier looking leaf, and sativa is more of a long leaf, longer leaf.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And then there are hybrids, which are a mixture of the two. I personally like the hybrids and or sativa. Unless I am having a really hard time trying to sleep, I will go with the indica. That is something that indicas are good for. They, you know, mellow you out more. That's more of the couch potato weed that some people smoke. And then indicas, like I said, or sorry, hybrids, like I said, are a mixture of both. And you can have different components, you know, that would work for you. But, you know, some people, you know, if they just think, oh, I smoke weed and I get really tired and I get really antisocial, maybe you're smoking indica. Maybe you shouldn't be smoking indica. Maybe you should try the sativa. Sorry, my accent here is going a little adrift, but it's trying to keep it up.
That's a really good point to give to the audience.
Yes.
Though. For anyone who's curious, this is actually important for them.
That is
right?
His fake accent, and I'm trying here.
Regardless of the accent, this is very informational.
Yes. And so I don't really know what else to say. There are lots more to say about it, but I don't really know where to go from there.
How about personally, where are you today in relationship with weed?
Well, I actually still will buy from people, you know, illegally, I guess you could say, off the streets and whatnot, if you will. A few times I have gone to dispensaries, although now those are illegal because...
As well, which is so unfair.
Well, because you can only buy from the government. If it's not from the government, it is considered illegal. Yes. I don't know how they are going to figure out whether the weed you have is government or not, but we shall find out in later months to come. I think the date on the full legalization will be April, I believe, 2019. So we shall see how that, you know, plays over. What was the question again? I'm sorry. I feel like I didn't answer it.
That's okay. That's something to be considered with a stoner. That's only a joke. Your current day experience with the herb.
That's right. So I have gone to a few dispensaries and I still grab off people from the streets.
And just on your everyday experience.
Well, you know, if I'm not working, to be completely honest, I'm smoking the herb. If I don't work, I will smoke it. But I will still go about, do my daily things that I need to do.
You're
do
active.
My laundry, you know.
Yeah.
Watch some RuPaul's Drag Race, you know. It all depends. But I still do what I have to do. Now, in other cases, I would not and definitely don't recommend driving while high. That is against the law, just like drinking and driving.
And also, people are extremely irresponsible if they're stoned and driving.
Yes, you can get a lot of people very, very different, you know,
who are just passing out behind the wheel. Like, it is extremely dangerous.
Well, I think, you know, distraction comes into it. You can get distracted a little bit easy. Your focus won't exactly be the same if you're sober or high, especially behind the wheel.
And if you're on the verge of greening out, your motor functions also go.
You know, I would say those who are stoners don't really green out. I would say it's those who are trying weed and experimenting that may
green out. That aren't stoners.
Yeah. Those who are stoners know their limits, and those who are stoners really don't have any limits.
Yeah. Like so here's what I would say. It's the majority of people smoking weed probably aren't stoners. If you think about it, how many people are stoners? Probably only 10% of the weed market.
Well, I think it also depends. Yeah. You know, there are some who like to believe maybe they are stoners and they smoke every weekend, maybe.
But they're still so fresh and young.
But then, yes, but then there are some who, same as me and more than me, if they're not working, they're smoking weed. Even some, I believe, work and smoke weed at the same time.
Which is also irresponsible, and we do not condone.
Absolutely. But then again, might I add to the information behind the herb, there is levels of THC, that's what gets you high. Mm-hmm. Then there are levels of CBD, and that is the, I guess you could say, medicinal purposes behind the herb. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will take CBD oil if they have any body pain, or I've seen people use it, you know, on documentaries, if, you know, somebody's child is having like 100 seizures a day and all the hospitals are telling them there's nothing that they can give to their daughter. There's nothing that, you know, that they haven't tried or that it's going to work. It is, you have what you have and you work with it. But no, they didn't stop there. They tried and they found CBD oil. That is an extract that comes from the cannabis plant. And so, you know, that can be very beneficial in the medicinal practices.
I think I've also seen some videos and or documentaries on the same thing.
Yes.
Where it's young CBD children who are in constant pain their entire lives. And it was only thanks to
CBD. CBD.
Which, do you know the acronym for that or no?
I don't.
That's okay. It's only chemists do.
Well, no, because I know, you know, the, maybe not the definition, but the scientific term for THC is tetrahydrocannabinol.
That's chemical. That's legit.
And it's actually on the top of my grinder there, has the molecule there, tetrahydrocannabinol.
That's a beautiful grinder, and that is a beautiful symbol for THC.
Yes.
It looks very good.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Now, this is not the quickest of segues, but I have another thing to talk about to you.
All right, sure, let's go.
So, it's a bit of a long-winded question, but I'll try and make it as quick as possible.
All right, sounds good.
So, sit tight, and let's get into this. So, I've known you for quite some time. I would consider you one of the better people as far as a moral compass goes. You're very honest. You're a very honest character. You have integrity at points where other people, where honest people, might not have themselves. So whenever I consider the question of whether or not someone is good, usually these important pinpoint directories come in line. So to me, at least, you are a very, very good person. I would consider you one of the better people that I know, morally and with integrity and everything. And you're also very emotional.
I am, yes.
Quite. And that's
I'm
not that's, but that's not a negative. That's only a negative when it comes to interactions with specific people, because you can be very emotional with people who are strangers, but when it's with personal people that
Sorry to cut you off there, but I just had to interrupt and say, the one time, or at least one of the times that this happens when I don't want it to, me becoming sensitive in situations, when it happens to be in the workplace, you know, I feel like I can't hold back my emotions. Sometimes it just happens to come out. And I find it is somewhat unprofessional. Depending on the situation, depending on where you are, depending on who you're talking to. So sometimes I do find it's unprofessional, but other times I find I can't really do anything about it. I can't hold it back. sometimes I need to let it out.
Would you ever wish for a different brain chemistry? Or are you perfectly content with what you have now?
You know what? Sometimes I do wish that I had a different brain chemistry, but...
You gotta think. It would get rid of the better part of you as well. You have to consider the variants that come in with changing a part of one person.
That's true. And so, I've thought before that I don't like the way I am, and, I don't like how sensitive I am because it gets in the way of things. But at the same time, I do think that my being sensitive is a good thing because I can sympathize with people.
It makes you so much more in tune to other people.
But another thing that, and I don't really understand why, but if I watch a Facebook video of somebody else's life...
You're not alone, but continue.
But for most of the cases, especially if it is an emotional story, I will cry. Even if it's just reactions, like, the military folk coming home and seeing their kids and their wife and their dogs. The dogs!
Oh, you don't have to get into it. So there's no point in me asking this question, which I do actually have here, is if you're a dog or a cat person.
Oh, definitely a dog person.
You are a dog person, and definitely. For a good reason.
110%.
They are humans' best friend.
That's right. One thing I do have to say is I'm not saying... Okay, yes, I am. I'm not a cat person, but there are those cats that you just love and that are friendly and are playful. And those are the cats that I love. My friend, for a very long time, had a cat. I will tell you the name. It was Marbles. It was a ginger fat cat with bright green eyes, and it loved belly rubs. And I loved it so much because he was very friendly. He was very cuddly, and he wasn't mean at all. He didn't want to scratch you. He didn't want to bite you. He just wanted to rub the top of his head against your hand to make you pet him, and then he would roll over for belly rubs like he was a little pup. I loved him.
That's so awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Unfortunately, he passed away, but yeah.
R.I.P. What was it?
To Marbles.
Marbles.
Cute little bastard.
Rest in peace, Marbles. You know what? Rest in peace. This is a term that has long fascinated me in my time of being a confused Catholic to now being strong agnostic. Rest in peace insinuates that the person is going to rest forever and that they're not going to rise in the afterlife as a spiritual avatar
of
themselves.
Their body rest in peace. Their body.
Okay, so it's for the body. It's for the body. Here we go.
Yes.
Question answered.
All right, there you go.
Now, on to the next one. And this one, you may not have an answer. I'm hoping you do. I only wrote this because I know for sure I have an answer, and I thought it was an interesting question. So I'll throw it by you.
All right, let's
go. And we'll see what we get.
Right.
Can you recount the first time you were ever attracted to someone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how far back can you go? Do you remember the first person you were attracted to?
I think I remember, but I don't know if there was one before this.
That's fine.
Boy in particular.
I'll take the second first.
So the one that I remember, I was in elementary school. I was in grade... You know what? I think I liked him for quite a while, but I was in grade two. I think we dated for like a day or two.
Oh.
We kissed in the snow fort. That was my very first kiss. It wasn't really a kiss. It was just lips touching. It wasn't really a kiss, but it was a kiss to me. And that was the first boy that I was attracted to and that I think I liked. He was very, very cute. He had a mole on his cheek. But it was a cute little mole. It wasn't a hairy, big old mole.
That's gorgeous. All right. Well, hey, that's... Okay, on to the next question.
Yes.
All right. This one is going to be even harder.
All right, let's
As far as memory goes. Are you ready?
Yeah, my memory's not very good. Don't smoke too much weed, people.
I guess that's a good point.
And another thing I do have to say, just in regards to what I just said, my memory is not very good because I smoke too much, but it is not because I smoke too much. It is because I started smoking before my brain was fully developed.
So start smoking weed at the age of 23? 21?
Well, I think it depends.
It depends on the brain development, but 21 to 24, let's say, is when the brain finishes developing.
Right.
So it's weird how we set up the school systems. We did it back in the day before we knew neuroscience,
But because now we know that the brain is constantly molding itself until the age of 21 to 24, the brain. The mold of the brain.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we should set up our educational systems accordingly and not have this sort of weird business scheme behind colleges and universities. Maybe it should be just an extended university that's completely granted for through the government. Same as elementary school or high school, public schools.
No, because
it should be completely fair.
Well, maybe.
The brain's developing. You're a child. People think 20-year-olds are adults. They're, as far as the brain developing goes, you're not done yet.
But at the same time, how many universities would there have to be? How many more professors would there have to be? And especially if you knock it down to just...
Extend high school then. Extend high school another 4 years. That's easy to do. You're 22 by the time you get out. That's okay.
Nobody wants that.
No, it doesn't matter what they want. It's the facts.
Yeah,
it's the facts that matter.
Experience.
And the culture. Okay. So the culture's there.
Yeah, as soon as you hit grade 12, you're like, I want to give up already.
Yeah. All right. I guess, that's it. That's a big point.
But there used to be more time.
That's
grade
true.
13, and then
grade
I got
13?
Rid of it. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a good point. And to bring about the other point that people don't want this, culture is a big, big point.
Yep.
You can't just change the governmental system of a country overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start now, goddammit. Where's Queen Elizabeth? She's still alive, goddamn. I'll talk to her right now. I'm going to say, Queen Elizabeth, you have to look at the facts, you have to understand how the brain works, and you have to play that into... conditioning schools.
Yeah, I think it's very different in the UK.
Hey, the UK owns
Canada.
I'm
just playing on an accent here now, so I'm not really from the UK.
We're from Canada.
So I don't really know how that works, to be quite honest. But
we're
it could
from
be very
Canada.
Different there. They could be very more mature than we are at the time of when they turn 21.
Well, they start drinking at 16, so I don't know.
Is that?
Yep.
It's legal at 16.
Mm-hmm. But they have a different culture there, so.
Yeah, see, it's very different, so who knows how it is.
That's right. On to the next question, though.
Yeah, sure.
This was a very long segue. On to the next one. That's okay. Can you recall your first memory? Obviously, that question is loaded. What it really means is, what's the earliest memory that you can remember? And
you know what? I think my opinion is going to be wrong, because I've watched home videos over and over
again, point.
So I don't know what's
that's
a memory... from real life, or what's a memory from watching it happen. So, but you know what? There are some things that I did watch on home videos that I did remember, but I had to watch them to remember at the same time.
It's like the national anthem. Once it starts playing, it recounts in your brain.
So I'm going to
say... So it's totally possible.
I did... And now I don't know if this is my first, but I was very, very young, so I will say this is my first. It was maybe, I think, about 2 years old.
Yeah.
Or maybe even younger than that.
Yeah.
I was still in diapers. And I was still, was I walking? I don't know. I think I may have been walking. But anyways, I'll explain the video footage that is in my mind right now.
Yeah.
We are at a big jungle place, and I'm with all my family. I think it was for one of my cousin's birthday, and we were all very young at the time. I have a big, big family, and we were all there, and we were all still very young. And it was a children's play place, and I remember my outfit from watching the video. And it was a cute little plaid one-piece dress
skirt
look. And it was very, very cute.
Oh, yeah.
And I had my straight bangs and straight across hair cut right at the neck. It was very, very cute. And I remember being at a play place. There was carpet. There was tons of other things. And I think there were... Oh, I just had another memory. Okay. But I'll finish explaining this. I don't know if there were, like, mascots there of some sort that were dressed up as things. I can't quite remember.
Clearly a play place, though.
It was a play place, and
there
we were
go.
All there, and I remember being with my family, and there were slides and, like, fake toy things.
Yeah.
And the other memory that I just remembered that I feel like I have to share now was across the street from where I grew up, there was a old film store.
Yeah.
And I remember going there with my siblings, and there was SpongeBob and Patrick.
I remember that.
They were there.
I also have that memory. But coincidentally, so he
you know
could
what?
Have, he
I
could
feel
have
like,
been there for weeks on
no,
weeks.
They toured, I remember that. They went to all
there
the different Rogers and Blockbusters at the time. I don't know if there is any of those anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a pretty fond memory because I loved SpongeBob growing up, and I thought it really was him, so I was very happy to have met him and Patrick.
So that was not one of my first memories, but I do remember an encounter with SpongeBob, and I will say, my encounter with SpongeBob was not a pleasant one because I saw him, and my sensation of illusion... That's not the right term.
Illusion.
Illusionment, though? I don't think that's the right term. I had a sensation of disillusionment, though. Okay. So that is a word. I looked at him and I said, "You're not SpongeBob." I'm saying this as a dumb, naive child. Yeah, so I don't know how old I was.
How old were you at that time, do you think? I mean, from my experience, I was very quite young.
If I were to guess, I would say I was 8 or 9 or 10 or something. 11, maybe 12. No, not that old.
No.
I'm going to say I was like 9 or 10. I don't know.
Well, my experience was quite fond, because I was very, very young. I did think it was.
Younger, yeah. But hey, SpongeBob, he's a cartoon. It's one of those things where young people want to see cartoons come to life.
But it's not the same when you see
It's not the same. It depends on how old you are. And also, some things just shouldn't come to life. There's a new Pokemon movie coming out called Detective Pikachu or Pikachu Detective.
In real life?
Well, it's CGI Pikachu CGI Pokemon, so the people are real, and they're walking around with CGI Pikachu, and Pikachu's got fur instead of just being white.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And all the other Pokemon are realistic-looking, and they're gross. It's like, who's the fluffy pink Pokemon who's in the Smash Bros. Games?
Jigglypuff. Hufflepuff. Yeah, Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff?
She has
like a disgusting like Superman swirl on the top of her head, and she's got like beady eyes that look glossy, and the realistic depiction is so disgusting and grotesque. Yeah, it's like in the Uncanny Valley, where you're like, it's not real, but it doesn't look fake enough, so I'm uncomfortable. It's in that uncomfortable Uncanny Valley. Anyway.
Well, that doesn't sound too nice.
Yeah, I digress. Okay. I digress.
All right.
Yeah, caricatures should stay as caricatures. That's just for the future of anyone listening who cares about what the audience thinks, which of course they don't. No. They go off of numbers. They don't go off of actual feedback. Yes. Except for in the case of Justice League, Batman v Superman, Everyone was like, it was too dark.
You know what?
The next movie to come out was Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also edited really dark, but all the feedback was so negative about Batman v Superman being dark, they're like, okay, let's make it lighter, let's make it more comedic. Mm-hmm. So they, like, re-edited, like, millions of dollars worth. Wow. They went through an ordeal to make it more friendly.
Oh.
So that's a rare case. Most of the time, they never listen to feedback.
Yeah,
but anyway, I digress. On to the next question. This one's going to be interesting. Let's see what you have to say.
All right, let's hear it.
Have you ever met anyone famous?
Well, it depends on how you define famous.
Any amount of fame I'll take.
Okay.
So, what do you got?
So I met... Oh, I'm struggling to remember his name right now. But the one
Carlos?
Yes, from ITV.
So am I.
Okay.
And we've talked about him before on this podcast, I'm pretty sure. But it's okay. But what's your experience?
Well, you know what? I was at Fortino's, and I had just come back from a soccer game, and he was walking to his car with a chicken, baked chicken, and I remember he totally ignored me at first. Like,
What? I worked at Fortino's, and I worked at the hot foods department where they sell chicken, and I gave him food, and I'm pretty sure it was a chicken.
Do you remember that?
I recounted in one of the previous podcasts. I talk about how I was talking to Carlos. I don't know if it was specifically chicken, but I was at the hot foods department and I gave him food.
That's what I remember.
It
was probably the same time.
It might have been. If it was, that's miraculous. If not, that's still amazing that both of us had such a close encounter.
Yeah.
Fortino's!
All right. And so, I want to say he ignored me at first because I was like, it was very quite awkward. I didn't know how to address him because I didn't know his last name and I didn't just want to scream out Carlos. So I was like, Carlos from YTV. And then he turned around because like he totally heard me the first time, ignored me. And then when I said it again, even louder with the YTV behind it, he then turned around and was like, oh, hi. And I was like, oh my God, I used to watch that show. Like, what do you call that? Like a channel all the time when I was younger, every show from that. And he really didn't seem that enthused, but because he'd probably gotten it a lot
all the time,
And I don't know why,
probably exhausted.
He was
just
here in Burlington. I don't know why, if he grew up.
I'm pretty sure, no, he didn't grow up here, as far as I know, but he maybe started a family. He started a family in Northern Burlington.
Right. Well, now he's doing something else. He's working for another, like, ET Canada, something like that.
Yes,
like,
he is. Yes, tonight. He is. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So, other than him, you know what? I didn't meet him, but I saw Clinton from What Not to Wear when I was in New York for a hair show.
Oh, nice. Wow, there you go.
And, yeah, I want to say that is it. I did meet somebody from Broadway. He went to my school for a little bit. He was in Elliot. What's the Elliot? Little Elliot? What's the Elliot?
It might have just been Elliot.
No. Billy Elliot.
Billy, yes.
He was Billy Elliot in Billy Elliot.
He was the main character. Wow. My school. He was a year younger than I was. Wow. Good for him.
He only went for a little bit, and then he moved to Toronto and went to Toronto.
Obviously, he was more skilled than what Burlington had, right?
Offer, yes.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
And I
want to
say, I think that's it, yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's good. So on to the next question, then.
All
right. What is the most scared you've ever been? What is the scariest situation you found yourself? It could have been just a false scare. You walk into the basement, you hear a noise, you think it's a demon. Turns out it's nothing. But that fear was so strong that you always remembered it. Do you ever have those sensations?
I mean, definitely, but, you know, one...
It doesn't have to be a real scary scenario, just where you felt fear the most. What captures you? What do you remember when you think of fear?
Definitely when it comes to paranormal stuff, I get very, very freaked out.
Yeah,
so that's
where it comes from, right?
A lot of the times at my ex-boyfriend's house, there were spirits in his house. There was. Everybody knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that really kind of freaked me out the most is because when his sister used to live at home at his house, she was old, like, at this time she was moved out. She had a fiance and kids. And when she was living at home, when she was a teenager, she did a lot of ecstasy one night and decided to a Ouija board in the basement. And so, you know,
you don't do that.
Yeah, you don't do that.
You don't do that.
And
no matter how skeptic you are, don't do that.
I don't really know what had happened in that time, but every time I just did not want to go down there. It really did give me the creeps. Even before hearing that, the feeling I would get being down there, you know, it wasn't like, ooh, a cold breeze passed me. It was just, I just felt very uncomfortable. Not like somebody was watching me, but that other things that I didn't know were in that room. So I would only ever go down there if he was with me. Not like I really had a reason to, but even if he was without me in the house, I would still feel a little bit scared. Because I knew in his bedroom as well, there was a spirit there. Him and his mother discovered that there was a spirit that followed him around and typically stayed in his room. And because his house was built on an old... what's it called? It's a cemetery from like the 1800s. You know, from a very, very long time ago. But that didn't stop this one spirit from staying with him. But it wasn't a bad spirit. It was a very good spirit because this spirit was a woman and her daughter or son, whoever, what child she had, was either murdered or killed or somehow taken away from her. And so she looked after my ex-boyfriend as if he was her own. So he, you know, she was, I guess, just looking after him, but it was very quite creepy to me that she stayed in the room and somewhat followed him around. And so certain feelings that I would get being in his house in general, that really did quite scare me. You know, sometimes I would wake up in the morning and a cup would be on the floor. I wouldn't discover it myself, but, you know, dishes out of the shelves and that kind of stuff. And it wasn't a game and nobody was doing it. It was these spirits that were in and around the house. And I don't know if it was, you know, I really don't know how many were in the house. And I don't know if they came there because of his sister doing ecstasy and a Ouija board, or if it was from the fact that it was built at an old cemetery. I really don't know, but there were spirits there, and it really did freak me out being there sometimes, especially when I was alone.
Well, it's the
you know, conclusion that it had something to do with ecstasy probably is a miss. Yeah. So here's the thing.
I guess you could say, sorry to cut you off, that just paranormal activity really doesn't sit well with me.
That's the major fear or the major really thing that captures, that grabs your spine and makes it tingle.
Yes.
Yeah. Our situation right now, do you feel like there are any spirits here? Or do you feel safe?
Right now in this particular...
undisclosed location, if you would call it that. Yes.
No, I feel perfectly fine where we are. You know what?
It's good.
Sometimes...
You may or may not.
You know, I feel like it might only be because if I'm alone, or
just that sensation.
The only one in the house. Sometimes I do get a little bit scared.
A creeping feeling.
Nothing ever happens, you know. And you know, I mean, this particular house wasn't built on anything
unnatural.
Supernatural, cool. If you will. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad has entered the house.
That's good.
You know, so I feel pretty good most of the time, yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Unless it's just my own
paranoia.
Psyche getting to me about shit.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'm stoned and I'm tripping out or something.
Which weed tends to do to some people,
that's
right?
The THC, yes.
Yeah, so who knows? Okay, so yeah, that's a good answer. And moving on to the next question.
Yes.
This one, it's good that you're anonymous, because this answer that you might give could have consequences. Luckily, we have no idea who you are. You British, Irish, Australian individual.
Yeah, sorry
have
anyone who is from Ireland or Britain or Australia, I apologize.
I'm bloody well apologized, don't I?
All right, well, I'll tell you about
I know, that was rude. Okay, on to the question.
Right.
Have you ever stolen anything before?
Oh, I did.
I feel like a minority of people are actual kleptomaniacs, but everybody, from the dawn of time, has stolen, even from their cave mama in 10,000 BC, stolen a little something.
Oh, of course.
And, part of our nature, a child.
When I say that I've stolen,
yes.
Like, it hasn't been from, my family or anything. Unfortunately, it's been from stores and
well-adued establishments.
That kind of stuff. I think I remember my first time actually taking something. I don't know if I quite knew that I was taking it and that I would get in trouble.
Okay.
But if anyone remembers those bracelets, I forget what they were called, but they were the metal bracelets that you would.
Oh, yeah, those bracelets.
On, you would clip on.
It was supposed to give you energy, right?
No,
okay.
You would clip on little different things to it.
What, Pandora?
No, this was way before Pandora bracelets were ever fashionable, even a thing. This was back when, you know, the people of my generation weren't even 10 years old yet.
Oh, and elementary school bracelet things. I know what you're talking about. I have no idea what they were called.
They pinched a lot sometimes.
And they were stupid. It was a fad. It was a fad.
Different types of gems and, you know.
Yeah, it was pre. It was pre-Pandora. Like, we can call it pre-Pandora.
Sure. And so it was, you know, at one of my brother's football games, and there was like, you know, a little, I want to call it a kiosk, but it wasn't a kiosk because it wasn't in the mall, but it was like a little thing off
booth.
To the side. Yeah, like a booth. And it sold various different types of things, and those little clip things to add to your bracelet was one of them. And so I remember just grabbing ones that I like and started to put them in my pocket. And the lady came over to me. She grabbed my hand mid as I was reaching into another one.
You were not sneaky.
That's the thing, because I don't think I really knew.
You weren't skilled. You know how to do it.
If it was bad or if I was going to get in trouble. So I was just, you know, picking and putting in my pocket, And then so she grabbed my hand and she was like, "What are you doing? Where are your pants? Lead me to your pants." So I was so very scared to go over to my parents and to admit, because at that point I did know that what I was doing was wrong.
Of course,
and
at that
point. I was going to get in trouble for
it. Oh, yeah.
And so, yes, I was very ashamed as I walked over to my parents and told them what I did. And I just handed them all back, and I don't really know if anything
happened. You owned up. Hey, that's amazing. I thought the end of that story was going to be you stole that shit and just got away with it.
Oh, no. She brought me over to my parents, and I told them what I did. Oh,
wow.
Yes, and also at the time, she pulled out of my other pocket. I was collecting beer caps. beer caps. That, you know, innocent. I would find them. Yeah, sure, well, that you was walk innocent. Around, yeah. You but see she it on goes the to pull out more out of my pocket, and I'm like, oh no. And I'm thinking I'm going to get in trouble for those because it's beer caps, but that's just a little innocent collection.
It's innocent, yeah.
And so that was fine, but yeah, I thought I was going to get shit for that one.
Yeah, look at you, little thief. Just kidding. Everybody's stolen something.
Yeah, but then I had more of a phase in high school, but we're not going to talk
about that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not even going to get close to that. That's dangerous. I'm scared just even thinking about that. Yeah, so we're going to move on. Oh, no, that's even worse. On to the next question.
I do that.
You kleptomaniac. Yeah, no, you don't do it nowadays.
No.
Okay, no. If the pattern...
After this certain... one-time experience,
yeah.
I never did after that again.
Okay, so long as you don't continue the pattern into adulthood, you're not a kleptomaniac. Yes. So
it was never big things either.
Minor, sure. I don't want to know. On to the next question, and this very tragically relates, but if you were given a $1,000 gift card to the mall of your choice... What is one of the first things you'd buy? You're just given money, and they say, and just go to the mall. What's the first, like, even thing you think of? Clothes?
Jewelry? Clothes, 110%.
Okay, yes. That's the first thing.
And even in more detail about that, I think it would... I mean, when you first said that, the first thing that popped into my mind was shoes. I mean, and don't take that as I'm a shoeaholic, because no. I really don't have very many shoes, and that's why I think the first thing... that I would get would be more shoes.
Yeah.
And then on to more, you know, stylish clothing and whatnot.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Which major sport, I don't think I've asked you this question, which major sport would you eliminate if you had to? Major sport. So major sports, let's go over them. I'm pretty sure there's five.
Football, baseball, basketball, soccer.
Hockey,
of course. So five. Sorry.
Which
tennis one? And golf.
No, tennis and golf, that's not major.
No, okay.
It's not on the same level of popularity.
Out of those options, which hockey, soccer, football, baseball, and basketball.
Yeah.
I think, and this is totally just
my own personal
opinion.
Of course.
I don't know very much about it. I think it is quite boring. Mm-hmm. I do believe people love it. They go crazy over it. But I think I would get rid of baseball. I really don't care for it at all. I love soccer to death.
Yes.
Football is entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And same with basketball. I used to play basketball, so I'm interested in that as well.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then hockey, I played hockey, and I do think it is quite interesting to watch and entertaining.
Baseball it's just gets boring. The bench, though. Looks like baseball got a strikeout. You know what I'm saying?
I know some people's favorite sport, sorry, but that's just what I think.
That's what happens, exactly.
I'm a little Aussie there.
That's okay. All right, next question. When was the last time that you did something that you thought was weird? Have you ever caught yourself doing something that you were like, okay, not everyone does this? When was the last time you caught yourself doing that? I'll give an example to break the ice, okay? Because this is the first time that I've ever asked this question on the podcast.
Sure.
The last time I ever did something that I personally thought was weird to the general public was I wake up at like 4 in the morning at my girlfriend's place and I gotta go pee.
Yep.
No, more than that.
Poop.
I gotta poop.
Okay.
So I go to the bathroom, right? I close her door. One of the cats is in the hallway staring at me.
Oh.
So I open the door. The cat looks at me. I give a gesture. The cat walks in. Close the door behind me. And I go poo, and it's stroking across my legs as I'm dropping a dookie. Mid-poop, it's stroking across my legs. And I'm like, what? The cat was lonely. It was the middle of the night. The cat was fully awake.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say that that's weird, because there are sometimes I go to pee. And if I'm home alone and my dog, you know, if my dog is following me around.
But hey, it's not the point of the example, though. It's the question.
All right, well, shit.
So,
I guess the same thing.
Well,
I don't know.
If you were to think of something off the top of your head, what is something that you'd consider other people would think weird, if that makes the question easier? What's weird? You know?
I mean, lots of things are weird.
Sure, but what do you do that you think would be weird? Yeah, singing or dancing or making sound effects, anything.
I mean, not like this is weird, because I think I do it in kind of like a harmless way, and I think the people... understand where I'm coming from, but yes, I guess making sound effects would be one of them. Sure. And I do receive that from my mother.
Yeah.
She makes a lot of sound effects as well.
Well, I mean, that's a good answer.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what you were looking for. I don't
that
know.
Is. How is that not weird? If you think that is something that's, you know, may or may not be weird, that's good. That's okay. Hey, how about the next question?
All right, let's
Are you ready for this?
Sorry about that last one.
That's okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Would you, guest 22, rather live in the future, or would you rather live
the past.
In the desolate past?
Wow. Oh, shit. What does desolate mean?
Yeah, I'm using that as an adjective. It's right. Like, would you rather live in the future or the past? You
I
choose
would
past.
Definitely live in the past.
Sure. Which past? Give us a decade,
okay,
a century.
So that
what?
Is something that I don't even know myself, because I think, to be quite honest, I would want to experience
every day,
every decade and every century. Like,
keep in mind, this is real life.
I know
this isn't a movie.
Yes,
women
I know.
Were discriminated against a fuck ton. You would have a shitty time 1,000 years from now. In the past.
In the past, yes.
So I'm not saying that to be an asshole. I'm saying that as a discretionary tale.
Yes, I know.
Is that the world was a terrible place.
I know, but it's only getting worse.
Well, not for civil rights.
Not for civil rights, yeah, that's
for
sure.
For Discord, it's getting fucking terrible.
Yes.
But for civil rights, you know, I think we're slowly moving forward.
Yeah,
inch
but
by
Donald
inch.
Trump as the U.S. president,
no,
he won't get far from.
No, but he isn't part of it. It's the culture that's part of it. So he is only part of the sort of white American mid-country culture,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The majority of the world, though, and the majority of America is about pro, you know, pro-movement towards equality in every way, sense, and form. So, like, Hollywood has been doing the Me Too, which is now leaked into actual general workplaces, which has helped.
I think to answer your question, I would only want... Okay, if I could, I would do every single one, and I would probably only do a little bit of time in each.
Like decades, you mean? Every single
yes,
one.
Yes. Yeah. Probably starting from... 80,
70, 60s.
From the 18...
Start in the 18.
Yes, okay. I would start in the 1800s. I don't know whenabouts and then, because I don't know a lot about then, but I just know the Victorian era and all that. And I know that's mainly like in the 1900s as well, before the 1910s.
Before Queen Elizabeth.
Yes. I would love to be a part of that. And I feel like, you know, it's more about the style that I really enjoy and more about the, maybe not morals, but the etiquette. That
yes.
I do quite enjoy,
mm-hmm.
You know,
etiquette.
Chivalry and whatnot in some cases. Other cases are very quite aggressive and forced.
Yeah.
Especially back in the day when women didn't have a voice. But, you know, going on from then, if I get into more specifics and to the 1900s and to the 1910s and to the 1920s, and then on to the 30s, and so on, I think I would love to kind of experience, although I'm kind of in one now, like the Prohibition. I think that would be kind of fun, being flapper girls and all that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, seeing movies that are happening in real life with Marilyn Monroe. And what is that, the 40s or 50s?
That was the 40s and 50s.
And same with Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah, that would be exciting, actually. That's a good point to
and
bring
when
that
movies,
up.
And when movies first, you know, when...
The popularization, the Hollywood
word,
effect.
No, innovation was
yes,
only
innovation.
Just starting.
Yeah.
Fridges and cars and movies.
All those inventions.
Photography and all that kind of stuff. Like when things were being invented and there were inventors and all that kind of things. And then, you know, when it gets to, you know, the 1970s, the 1980s and the 1990s, for me, I feel like it becomes more of the music and the vibes that were around in those times. So starting off in the 70s, the very hippie flower girl.
The atmosphere of it all. Yeah,
peace, no war, and all that kind. And then, you know, going into the 80s and rock really taking a high toll. I do enjoy rock music, classic rock to be specific, and electric guitar I really do love if it's used in the right way. And I think that would be quite fun to experience, you know, change. I haven't really had a lot of changed in the time that I've been alive and around, you know, except for things evolving, but nothing new creating. Technology,
but not culturally.
You know?
Yeah.
And I guess it, you know, I think I would want to stop at the 1990s. I would not want to go on to the 2000s. I don't like where we're headed at all.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
But at the same time, very
truthful. But I'm
here,
so I'm
going to
make the best of it.
To your opinion, yeah, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Well, that's great. That's mm-hmm. a great answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole shebang. Because yeah. it's like when I think of each decade,
yeah.
as you were describing, I was like, oh yeah, I want to go there. Oh yeah, I want to go there. Oh yeah, I want to go there.
It's a little bit of each.
It's like, yeah, it's yeah, yeah. It's one of those things where it's like you don't even think about it until someone starts talking yeah. about it, and you're like, oh wait, yeah, I would want to do that. Yeah. Everything you're describing, I want to do. That's incredible.
Oh, in the Notebook. I don't know when that was based.
The '40s.
The '40s.
Because
yeah, I would love it.
Gosling's in the war, right? That's the big thing.
Yeah. I would just love that. And everything that she wears is just so cute. And the little cars. And
you don't experience her life,
true love.
Though.
Like,
yeah.
true love.
True love has nothing to do with the time period.
Yeah, but it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, my God. That's not true. Hey, you just had a bad run-in.
Yeah, okay.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Plus, technology makes it hard. This is a side note.
Like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so this is a super, super small side note. All I'm going right. to make. Is that... Technology has made romance
die.
No, not necessarily die. It still exists, but what's the term? It's made it obsolete.
Okay.
So it still exists for those who want it. But if you really want romance, you got to go dig it.
See,
you can
take.
You can.
I don't want that. I want to go to the grocery store.
You can go off somewhere.
Have a conversation with him. I want him to knock on my door and be like, "Hi, is Claire around?" Even
yeah.
though that would be a little weird nowadays.
Nowadays,
I would expect a text.
Nowadays, that's weird. Back in the day, that
but
is
see,
the most
that's
normal
why
thing.
I want to go back to those
yeah.
times.
So yeah, we definitely lost something with the technical evolution, but
yes.
we should not. Even though things, certain aspects. Of things made it better back in the day, like romance,
mm-hmm.
we are so much safer nowadays. So though romance may or may not be dead unless you go digging for it, we have today an unparalleled amount of safety that we didn't have back in the day. You know how many people got murdered? You don't, because most of it wasn't recorded because the murderers were successful at hiding the bodies.
Well, that's very true. And,
like, you know how hard that is to do with security cameras?
Well, I guess, yeah, security cameras and technology now, they can, you know, fingerprints and blood and all
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
DNA testing
back.
Did
yeah.
not exist in
yeah.
the 60s.
So back when Sherlock Holmes was around, you know, all he had was his
deductive reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we have actual equipment to do that for us.
That's right. So, on to the final questions. As we reel in, we have 7 minutes left. So, before getting to the final question that I have for you personally, mm-hmm. I'll go over a few more that I have here. If you were to die tomorrow,
awesome.
And before moving on, the Grim Reaper gave you a choice to relive your entire life again without change, would you do it? Or would you simply move on? You could not change a thing. You're just stuck in your child body. Would you relive your entire life at the moment of death? Or would you say, nope, I did it once?
Yeah, I think I would like to move on.
You would move on. Wow. That's so mature of you.
I know, but I feel like another part of me is like, I'd want to do it all over again, but...
Just once. But a
but
lot
no,
of that reliving
I mean, sorry,
is full of
point?
Watching reliving videos.
Like, yeah, that's true. I've done it all already. I felt all that I felt already. I know what happened to me. You know, I know the way that it made me feel those certain different types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I've kind of already experienced it. And I don't really know if I'd want to go through it again. Not because, oh, it's such a bad thing to go, yeah, whatever. But just because I just... think simply because of the fact that I've already done it and I would rather see what's next.
That is an incredible answer. That is not what I actually expected. So that's
wow.
that's amazing of you. Wow, look at you.
Wow.
So mature.
Thanks.
Guest 22. Wow.
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 Thanks.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Now I'm going to go on to the new opinion section. Nothing's changed about the concept of the opinion section. These are just new
subjects. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you probably don't really have any good answers for any of this, because there's nothing really to give.
Well, let's hear it.
Let's throw it out there. Okay. Are you ready?
Sure.
What is your opinion on gambling?
I don't think I like it. For one, like, I've never been to a casino. I think maybe I've bought myself a scratch ticket once.
Okay.
I've never bought a lottery ticket. I've been offered a bunch of times to chip in, and I've just said no, I don't think. No.
It's not worth it.
Because, you know, and the same goes for multiple things in life. If you know it's bad, why even start it? I'm hypocritical in a few things.
But at the same time, you're still very mature in your mentality towards certain life's aspects. So
gambling, I will never try.
That's good. You know? You should never try gambling.
Maybe some scratch tickets. But, you know, sometimes I go into the convenience store to get cigarettes. That's my bad thing. Sorry, everyone. You know, and I'm stuck behind somebody who has paid like $100 at a convenience store, just going again.
For
going
10
again.
Minutes, then you're like, stuck behind them, and they're just like another.
I need to get one thing, and they're doing an encore and spending like $100 at the convenience store.
It's like, just go to the casino. Why are you wasting someone's time when they're trying to buy cigarettes?
So, anyways, yeah, I'll never do it. I don't think I will.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Next one. What is your opinion on the prison system?
I'm not educated. I don't really know anything about the prison system. That's do we have any fine. Here?
Of course we do. Not in Burlington, but in Milton. We have a prison.
Hamilton, too, right?
Yeah, but I don't consider that part of the GTA.
Well, all right.
On to the next one. What is your opinion on furries?
Furries.
What are those? People who dress up as animals and have sex with each other.
As animals?
As mascots. They dress up as like wolf people. You know about this?
No.
It's a whole subculture that's like, it originated on the internet with people who had like animal fetishes and then became realized, and there's like conventions and stuff. Like,
you know what? I think that's a little bit odd, and I don't know where to cross the line from being what's
innocent.
There's a term for like dressing up, but I don't know if it's dressing up like characters. What's it called? When you
fetishize? I don't know.
No, I don't think it's mascots? A fetish.
I don't know.
This one thing that I'm trying to think of. It's something con.
Retcon is a word. I don't think it relates to this.
Anyways, I think it's a little strange. And the fact that we have conventions and stuff like that is a little bit odd.
Furry conventions. They meet each other and fuck.
It's not right to have sex with animals. So to dress yourself up. So to dress yourselves up like animals and to have sex. It does seem a little bit weird to me.
I think, I don't think it's specifically like animals.
Bestiality.
Yeah, because that's a concern. I don't think they specifically are attracted to real animals. I think they're attracted to cartoons.
Yeah, but the because cartoons it's are like, all animals. See,
No, but it's not about the animal, it's humanoid. It's about the what's it called? Anthropomorphization? I did that completely wrong, but anthropomorphizing caricatures like Bugs Bunny, like Zootopia, the bunny cop and the fox guy. It is weird. There's no question.
What are my views on it, you ask?
What are your views? You think it's weird or you think it's normal?
No, I think it's weird. You think it's weird. Yes.
But that's fine. As long as it doesn't hurt other people, it's fine. If it bridges into criminal territory, then obviously it's wrong.
Yeah.
But it's fucking, it's weird, but it's for
it's
them.
It's just a weird fetish,
but
I guess.
It's two people that are both into it, so it's fine. Yeah, and they're adults.
Yeah, sure.
It's an important thing. Okay, on to the next one. Before the final question, what is your opinion on the death penalty?
Do we have one here?
No, but in America.
This was my topic for something in high school. I don't really quite remember what it was about, but I chose the death penalty. Fuck, and I did so much research. I honestly couldn't tell you a thing now, because
we got 30 plus seconds.
All right, so I find for some things, yes, you've done what you've done. You don't get a second chance. Goodbye, you're done. If you take somebody else's life, for instance,
your life
and
is forfeit.
You know, like, I don't know. I guess it would have to be very, very, very based on specifics of what that person did.
Here's what I'll say.
But if you take somebody else's life, you shouldn't have your own.
You get your own life, yeah. So here's what I'll say in defense. If you take a life, or if you're like a child rapist, or if you're some sort of psychopath, instead of dying, you should be put in solitary confinement, which is psychological terror, for the rest of your life. You'll suffer way more than dying. So, now, with the last 4 seconds left, I know, I'm strict about the one-hour rule, but how about this? Do you think there's any place for drugs, other drugs, to be legalized? In general, without getting deep into it, marijuana and alcohol, any extra ones, or do you think any extra ones are too far? Without getting deep into it.
Okay, well, again, I don't know a lot about it, so probably no. Probably unless not. It would help somebody in a rehab type of situation.
Rehab type situation, that's great. Listen, guest 22, you've been amazing. I love you so much.
Thanks.
I hope you come back as guest 22 because you have a lot of insight with the world.
Oh, thank you.
If the audience is hearing sirens, that's because we're under arrest because we're actually in America smoking weed. Run!
Run!